Good morning. So, as Emma's already said, this is a modern-day interpretation of the reading of Mary and Martha, the story of Mary and Martha. And I'm sure any resemblance to any persons living are actually intended, maybe humorous and are not prophetic. Hello, my name is Martha. We've been looking at the gifts that we have in church recently and how we use our giftings. That one's easy for me to know. I have the gift of hospitality. This is something I've always been drawn to. I love making my home feel welcoming to everybody. When I'm serving them, it feels like I'm serving God. We have our life group meet at our house. I love making cakes every week. I've got all sorts of teas and coffees in my cupboard ready to give people. I'm also on the church tea and coffee rota. And outside of church life, I serve on the PFA, the Parent Family Support Group at school. And I often serve tea, cakes, and Mr. Whippy ice creams. I'm confident I know my gift is hospitality. Well, last week it was lunchbox, the shared lunch that we have after church. It was a turn of our life group to help host and organise it, so we had to set up all the tables and serve all the food, do all the clearing up, that kind of thing. We also had a visiting speaker. I really wanted to hear the visiting speaker. I was looking forward to it, and as well I was looking forward to showing off my skills in hospitality. But the trouble was, out of our life group, for one reason or another, various people were away. Nigel was in the Bahamas. Jane had to take Kyra to a wrestling match. Tom and Ange were off on a cruise. Apparently they're fourth this year. David was preaching at the local Pentecostal church. Aislinn had taken 180 off for a cinema trip to see Despicable Me 3. That would be really good, actually. And Ben and Becky, they were too tired to come to church because they'd had quadruplets and they were completely sleep deprived. It was just myself and my sister Mary. I came in really early. I'm just going to chuckle at that bit, me being early anywhere. I came in really early and got as much done as I could. I was determined not to miss the talk. Just when I thought I'd finished buttering the last roll and cutting the last piece of quiche, I was about to join the service, but then Isaac came in with all of his salad things, which was wonderful, but I had to like chop them all up and put them out really nicely in the salad bowl. And then I noticed the rice cooker wasn't on, and there was a few other bits and bobs, and I just had to do it, you know, all those last minute bits and pieces. Anyway, by the time I got out to join my sister Mary, she was just sitting there enjoying the service, hadn't lifted a finger to help. The sermon was nearly finished. I was so upset, cross, frustrated. I whispered to Mary, "Mary, couldn't you have come and given me a bit of help in that kitchen? Was it too much to ask? Could have got all the jobs done in half the time." But then I looked at the screen and the speaker was reading from the Bible. He seemed to look right at me when he said these words. "The Lord said to her, 'My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing to be concerned about. Mary's discovered it. It won't be taken away from her.'"
That's brilliant. So, good morning. My name's Jo Kerr. I come to this worship at this church, and I'd like to talk to you this morning about Martha. And you know what? I am so excited about teaching you about Martha, because she is probably one of my favourite people in the Bible. It's sometimes I have heard talks about Martha and they paint her in a slightly negative light, And I find that quite frustrating, because I think the great thing about the Bible is that it's full of people who are just real. They're just people like you and me who actually live their lives and make mistakes, but learn from their mistakes. And hopefully we can look at their examples and go, yeah, I'm just like this person, but actually I can learn from the mistakes that they have made and hopefully learn to get closer to God just like they did in the Bible. So it's funny, isn't it? Because I've even heard people saying to me, oh, I wish I could be a bit less like Martha and more like Mary. Please don't. I think the Marys of this world are incredibly valuable. But if we didn't have Marthas as well, nothing would get done. So I can really relate to Martha, just her busyness, her attempts to get things done, her frustrations when others left her to do all the hard work by herself, her desire to serve Jesus with this gift that she'd been given, and then her mistakes as well. And I think these are all things that we can really identify with and learn from today. And there are three parts to our service today. And the first part is looking at who Martha is in terms of her identity in who she was, in what she did. Because there are other things that we learn from her. The second passage that we're going to learn from, the story of the raising of Lazarus, we've learned that actually her identity is based in her family. And then in the third passage, we find out that actually Jesus loves Martha, and that's her identity. So this year, we're focusing very much on gifts and callings, and what our own gifts and callings are. And so it's quite interesting to hear about somebody who had a very, very clear sense of her own calling. Because Martha was very, very good at what she did. She had a real gift, a gift of hospitality, of making her house a home. She made people feel welcome. And this was remarked on. Bear in mind, this is in a culture where hospitality was expected and demanded. You didn't let the stranger walk past your house without inviting them in and making them feel welcome. So the fact that this was remarked on in the Gospels means that she did it really, really well. So Jesus was traveling with a whole retinue of people. We know there are at least 12 disciples, but there were probably more hangers-on earlier in the a chapter or so before this one. It talks about 72 disciples. I don't know how many turned up at Martha's house that day. I hope it wasn't 72, but it was a lot of people. And Martha, it says, was busy preparing a big dinner. So I'd imagine, 12-course banquet for a lot of people. But then it comments that she became distracted by her gift. You see, Martha's identity was in her gift. She focused on hospitality to the extent that it distracted her from her relationship with Jesus. Her identity was what she did rather than who she was in Jesus. And as a result of that, she ended up putting pressure on her sister Mary to kind of join her in this mistaken identity. Because when our identity is on what we do rather than who we are in Jesus, the temptation is to drag others in with us. We might get jealous of others who seem to have effortlessly achieved what we've worked so hard to achieve ourselves. And of course, this doesn't apply just to hospitality. It applies to other things that we do. For instance, if we work really, really hard at service leading, at worship, at prayer ministry, at PA, does that mean that we somehow get closer to Jesus? Because it's very clear that the only thing worth being concerned about is our relationship with him. Because he gives us these good gifts to use in his service. But the danger is that then we become what we do. So have our gifts taken over to the extent that we've squashed Jesus out of our lives? Have we become distracted by our gift? Think about what you do, what your gift is, what you do in life. How much of your identity is tied up in what you do rather than who you are in Jesus. Reminds me of a story about the governor of Massachusetts, and it had a really busy day out electioneering or whatever they do and trying to raise votes, and there was a campaign party in the evening, a barbecue in his honour. And so he turns up, he's been too busy to have breakfast or lunch, and he turns up to this barbecue and he stands in line with his plate, and the lady behind the barbecue puts a piece of chicken on his plate. And this guy, he's starving, and he says, "Can I have another bit of chicken?" And the lady behind the barbecue says, "No, the rules are one bit of chicken for one person." And the governor of Massachusetts says, "Well, don't you know who I am? I'm the governor of Massachusetts, and this barbecue, this party is in my honor." And the lady behind the barbecue says, "Yes, but I'm the lady in charge of the chicken. Move along." So often our identity is in what we do. Now, many of you will know that I had a shoulder operation about a year ago. Many of you will also know that I work as an anaesthetist, and as in my job, I end up having to use my left arm quite a lot. Now, with any operation, there's always a very small risk that it could make things worse or it could not fix the problem. And certainly for the first few weeks and couple of months immediately after the operation, things had to get worse before they got better. So in those difficult weeks, I really struggled because I was like, my shoulder's worse. Is it actually going to get better? Am I actually going to be able to get back to the job that I love? If I'm not getting back to the job that I love, then can I really be called an anaesthetist? If I'm not an anaesthetist, am I actually a doctor? If I'm not a doctor, who am I? And I really struggled with my identity because I thought, well, if I lose my role, my what I do, then who am I? And you hear these sort of stories all the time from, I don't know, mums who maybe stop working so that they can have a family. Or, at the other end, mums who have had their family and their kids have grown up and start going to university. Or people who are retired or coming up to retirement who have got a role their whole lives and suddenly stop their jobs and go into retirement. Unemployed people. The list could go on. I think it's very difficult for us when we change roles if our identity is tied up in what we do. Because again and again, Jesus emphasizes that our identity must be just rooted in him. He expects us to become like little children. He talks about this in Matthew chapter 18. Because small children haven't yet based their identity in what they do. The Higgs little girl, Miriam, she's 18 months?
Nearly two.
Now, she doesn't have an identity in what she does. She has not yet become the teacher, the lawyer, the accountant, the preacher, the service leader, whatever it is she's going to do in life. She is just simply Emma and Ben's little daughter. And I think Jesus expects us to simply be God's child. He wants our identity to be stripped back so we simply are children of God. So how can you ensure that you focus on your relationship with Jesus rather than your gift? But we also need to recognize and thank the Marthas among us. So many of you selflessly put yourselves forward to serve. It is, yes, very easy to let that service distract us from the main purpose in life, which is have a relationship with Jesus. Because it's sometimes easier, as Martha found, to serve Jesus than to stay with Jesus. And it is okay to say no. Maybe that's something the church leadership would not like me to say. But really, if you're overwhelmed with doing stuff for God, then allowing yourself to say no to agreeing to yet more jobs which will take you away from Jesus is probably a good thing. So what I'd like to do for the in response to this first part is in two aspects of it. So first of all, I would like us to recognize, celebrate, and thank all the Marthas among us. And there are a lot of you out there. Just because you're a bloke doesn't mean that you're not a Martha. So first of all, I would like to recognise all the kids workers that we've got among us now. Our kids workers are so important in actually bringing our kids through and giving them an excitement for Jesus. So I would like everybody who helps at Sunday school to please stand up. Laura, that's you. Ness, yep. And anybody who helps at creche and 180. And I would also like all the parents to stand up who bring their children to church. Because do you know what? I heard a statistic last week that actually said that round about 56-57% of people in church are here because their parents brought them. And now I'd like everybody who's under 20 to stand up, because I think we need to really recognise the kids among us, particularly the teenagers who gave up their morning lie-ins to come to church. Let's give these people a round of applause. Thank you. And the second group I would like to recognise and thank are those who have a real gift for welcome and hospitality. Maybe those who related to Ness when she was reading that story about Martha. So those who serve the tea and coffee every week for us. I hope there's somebody here, otherwise we're not going to get our coffees afterwards. The welcome team. Life group leaders or those who host life groups. Anyone who has ever made a cake for Alpha or for Lunchbox or for church or for 180, thank you. And I'd like to thank those who work behind the scenes, so the PA and the projection. So those at the guys at the back at the top, check if they're listening. those who set up every week. And also the volunteers at the Forefront Centre. Thank you, guys. And then finally, those who help out with our services. So worship leaders, prayer ministry team, and those who pray every week for people in our church. Those who support our mission workers as well. And in fact, let's get everybody like Ben and Emma who's standing up who actually are on mission. Our service leaders and our preachers. Thank you, guys. We said worship team. We said worship team. Thank you. So while we can thank and recognize all you amazing people who do so much, we also need to recognize that you are more than what you do. Your identity is in Christ. So while I've been chatting, the kids on their back table have been decorating some postcards that say thank you, but on the flip side, it's also got glued to the back some identity verses just about who you are in Christ. And while Tom plays the next song, we're going to be distributing those postcards.
Jesus found that Lazarus has already been in his tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she ran out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you what you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered him, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. But Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing on me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. After she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and he is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but she was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, They followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odour, for he has been there for 4 days."
So the second thing we know about Martha is her relationship with her family. We know that she was the big sister to Mary and she had a brother called Lazarus. Now, it doesn't mention anywhere in these passages any mention of husbands or a father, so you can assume that this was quite a tight family unit, the three of them. And Martha would have derived some of her standing within her family and socially from her sister and her brother. So when her brother died, yeah, of course she was grief-stricken, but also there was an impact as well on her own identity. But it's interesting, isn't it? Because from the first passage to this one, we can see how far Martha has come in her own walk of faith. So she's still practicing this amazing gift of hospitality. I don't know if you noticed, but the house was full of, like, you know, guest mourners who all sort of had invaded their house as soon as Lazarus had died. And so Martha was there looking after them. And then when she hears that Jesus is coming, she's the one that runs out to greet him to make sure he is welcome. But see what she does, because interestingly, unlike Mary, she actually takes her problems straight to Jesus. She turns to him because her relationship with Jesus now is more important than her staying back and ensuring all those guest mourners have a nice cup of tea. Because she deserts her post in order to be with Jesus. And just look at her faith. Look what she says. She says, "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Now, what a remarkable statement of faith that is. That kind of reminds me of Peter's statement of faith, where he said, "You are the Messiah," in Mark chapter 8. But what Martha said is incredible because, number one, she's a woman, which in those days, you know, the women would not have had the benefits of the education and the teaching that the men would have had. And this is somebody who has not actually been with Jesus for his whole time wandering around for the past 2 years like Peter had. But Martha is still practicing her gift. She cares enough for her sister that once she has spoken to Jesus, she then runs back to collect Mary to say, "Look, come and see the teacher." She cares for her family. But then it all goes a bit pear-shaped, doesn't it? The smell will be terrible. So she changes from one of these most incredible statements of faith ever recorded in the Gospels to one of the most mundane things, talking about smell. So her practicality has got in the way of her faith. She's more concerned about a smelly body than in seeing what Jesus could do. So her gift gets in the way again. Her ability to ensure that everyone is made comfortable, don't want to smell a dead body, to actually seeing the bigger picture. Do your gifts sometimes get in the way of your faith, of what Jesus would like you to do in your life? What temptations come your way because of your gift? For instance, excessive pride in your work, jealousy if others are not pulling their weight, self-importance. Martha's identity has moved on from what she did to focusing her role as a big sister in the family, the practical one, the organizer. With her brother's death, she lost her identity and her role. Now, Jesus, of course, goes on in this story to raise Lazarus from the dead. And he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." So Jesus again emphasizes that our identity must be rooted just in him, not in our family relationships. Later on, he tells the Sadducees that in heaven, people won't be married. We won't be defined by who we're related to, but only by our relationship to God. So this is a challenge for us today. If you strip everything away, your job, your role, your position in society, your relationships with your family, your friends, everything you do and everything that's your relationships, then who are you? What is your identity?
6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume.
So finally, we come to the third part of Martha's identity. Now, it says in a lovely verse in John chapter 11, verse 5, that Jesus, very simply, Jesus loved Martha. And I think that this is really demonstrated in this short passage. Because what's not said in this passage actually tells us more than what is said. Because in just 2 years, Martha has really grown in her faith, her identity, and in her gifting. Did you notice in that passage, all it says that Martha served Jesus? That's the only reference to her. Now, if you rewind a little while, remember that first thing that we read about with Martha. She was distracted. She had a lot of stuff on her plate. She was trying to prepare a big dinner. She was busy. She was too busy to focus on Jesus. Whereas on this passage, it just says, Martha served Jesus. You see, instead of just serving Jesus but sort of going off and that being her focus, she actually serves Jesus and stays with him. She's learnt to put her gift in him. And the old Martha would have probably criticized her little sister Mary for wasting all that money on expensive perfume to wash Jesus' feet. But there are no comments about her complaining about the use of these extravagant oils. But she graciously accepts that this is the way that Mary chooses to worship Jesus. She's learnt to use her gift in the right way, to serve Jesus, to use it for his glory, not allowing it to be a distraction from her relationship with him or an obstruction to her faith in him. She's stripped back who she really is. She still has this amazing gift of hospitality. She is still big sister to Mary and sister to Lazarus. But these two things no longer define who she is. Her identity is now in Jesus.